If you remember back a couple weeks ago, I started preaching a sermon basically on what comes out of your mouth, and it has two parts. The first part is what comes out of your mouth to God. The second part is what comes out of your mouth to others. Well, I thought to keep it all together that I'd review quickly what we did last time. So if you got your note sheet and you got your Bible, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, you can see this. And that it starts off with prayer challenges. This is all review. This is not what we're doing this morning, just review. Prayer challenges, my talk to God, check yourself. So you've got your outline here, you can look at this. First one was to devote yourself to prayer. You see it? Second one was be watchful in your prayer life. Third one was to be thankful in your prayer life. The fourth one is unique because I don't hear people pray this way, but it was this. Ask that God would open a door for his message that's in you so that you can give it to others. Ask for that open door to speak. And the fifth one was to pray for others. Now comes the second question that you need to answer. Here's where we're going to get down to what today is. What comes out of your mouth to God? Okay, there's that checklist there. But now here comes the other thing. And that's where the majority of my speech goes during the week. What comes out of my mouth to other people? Here we go. This is the meddling time of the day, isn't it? Now's when we're going to get into some stuff that could get a little bit uncomfortable. And that's right, we're going to let the scripture take us there. So let me read for you Colossians chapter 4, and I'll go back to verse 3 and read from there from verse 3 to 6. Paul writes this, "At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Would you bow me in prayer? Father, we just read your word. And Father, we want to be taught by that word. We want to be challenged by that word. Father, when we leave here today, we want that word to have touched us in such a way that we're mindful of things we weren't even thinking about when we walked in the door in the first place. So, Father, we give you this time. We give you the attentiveness of our mind and ask more than anything else that your Holy Spirit would teach us right now. And we'll thank you for the fruit of that. Amen. All right, you ready to go? Got your pen out? Here we go. We're talking about what comes, the second question, okay? What comes out of your mouth to others, your speech life? Now, let me, just for a second, just stop. Put the pens down. Do one of these with me, all right? Look off into the distance. You do this anyway. You do it when I'm speaking. I watch you doing it. I don't know if you're thinking about lunch or if you're thinking about something, but do it now because I'm telling you to do it. Everybody kind of look over that way, like pensively. Now, as you're doing that, here's what you're thinking. This past week, what was your speech like? You might have to close your eyes. Think of your conversations during the week, the tough ones, the business ones, the really cool ones with your best friends, the ones that weren't so great, maybe with a boss or somebody who works underneath you. Just keep looking off and think with me. Generally speaking, how do you feel about your speech this past week? Is it something that if I had the device and could flip the switch right now and could show you on that screen how your speech life went this week, what would it look like and would you be embarrassed? Or would you sit there and go, I did pretty good. You see that? I can't answer that for you. Okay, now, everybody, bring it back from there to here. Okay, good. You know what nobody ever told me? And I'm serious about this. You should not be in my house to hear my speech life. Because there are times that I rant at the house. My wife's been gone like a week and a half, so I've been ranting like crazy and nobody's been listening to me. But now she's back and I saved a bunch of rants just for her. And she's been getting them since last night to today. And she's shaking her head, yeah. And there's more coming today. Isn't that cool? Dee's going to need a lunch appointment separate from me and maybe an afternoon fun time with somebody here. Listen carefully. Nobody ever told me that your speech that I talk with other people about casually, my common speech has something as a motivator and a pusher in it. Something that, above all things, this is why you're talking. Nobody has ever told me that. All those pastors, I've got other words for half the people that are in ministry that even I know, who shouldn't be, by the way. Ooh, that was rather, I shouldn't have said that. You can tell somebody's still been sick all week, and you can just see it's coming out without any filters, all right? But I've watched these people get there and say the best stuff and tell the best stories, but never told me the most important stuff. And some of the most important stuff is right here in verses 3 and 4. Look at it. It is laying out what our mission is. Nobody does this anymore. Nobody talks about this. I want you to come to church, and I want you to be happy and happy. And if I tell just the right story, you'll put more money in the offering, and then I'm happy. Reality is this. There is one mission that we are about. It is in verses 3 and 4 here. Did you see it? Look at verse 3. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison. Matt, you feel like preaching? That I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Are you looking at that? There it is. That's the mission. The mission is that we are always about looking for that open door. We're always about looking for the opportunity. We're always looking for the thing I've been left here to do. Okay, logic question. I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to tell you this, and nobody ever talks this way either. I came to know Jesus. I prayed the prayer, and poof, I disappeared. And I went to heaven. And I was gone. And I've heard from a lot of my other people that I know that they prayed the prayer to receive Jesus, and poof, they were gone and they went to heaven. In fact, it's recorded historically that everybody who prays to receive Jesus Christ goes immediately to heaven. Poof and gone. Now, is that Mike with fever talking? Yeah, okay, yes. That's not how it happened, did it? I prayed to receive Christ. I got up off my knees and I looked around, and guess what? The room looked like it did before. I prayed to receive Christ and I went out the door of the house and it looked just like it did before. Nothing had changed. The only thing that had changed was me. And now I was, listen, with intentionality by God, left here on this earth with a purpose, with a meaning, with a mission, with something that he's called me to do beyond everything else. And it's this one thing. It's to share the message of Jesus Christ, to represent Jesus Christ with my speech. Simple as that. But I'd love to tell you, hey, come to Christ, pray this prayer, poof, you'll be in heaven. It's not that way. God now gets to take my life and spend me as he sees fit, do with me as he sees fit, so that opportunities would be opened up wherever I'm at, so that I might be able to share the message. And now I've got a filter system, a lens system, by which I look through all the time. And that is, I am deliberately about the message and how to get it to other people. Simple. Everybody got it? We can close in prayer. Look what Paul asked for here, that he might proclaim, to declare this message, to make it clear. And I wanted to throw something else in here. Paul was in prison. Dirty, dank, dark prison. And Paul asked for this opportunity. More than anything else, he asked for this opportunity no matter what the situation he's in. Don't ever put in your mind that I've got to wait till my situation gets better and then I'll be able to share Christ. The reality is you share Christ from the situation he's allowed you to be in. And Paul saw that, not even knowing if he was going to die. He didn't ask to be released. He asked that he might, you pray for me, that a door would be open that I could share Christ from this dirty, dark prison that I'm in. I love that. Notice the situation was not the variable as to whether you share or not. And he wanted to share the mystery of Christ, the fact in the Old Testament they didn't know exactly what was coming as God talked about it and foreshadowed it and gave pictures and illustrations of what was coming. But now in Christ, we see it. It's here, and we saw what he did. And go tell that message. It's fully revealed in Jesus Christ. And Paul was consumed with this, but somehow in the church today, we're not consumed with it. It's not even a big deal. I lived my whole life this week and didn't think once about needing to share that message. I lived the whole past month and didn't think once that it's my responsibility to share that message. It just doesn't come up. And the people in my posture and position don't say anything about it. You go out this week, you go out there, and you be happy. Happy, happy, happy. Be happy. And when you're happy, people will be able to tell that you belong to Jesus. And that's what it's all about. That did sound like a Mickey Mouse moment, didn't it? I saw the characters in Magic Kingdom go by as I said that, okay? So there are two creative... Not that I've ever had the most manly voice. I understand women like that husky sound. So, at least my dog always did. Okay, here we go. Got your notes? There are two critical questions we need to answer in regards to our speech with others. And the first one comes in verse 5. Look at verse 5 with me. Paul says this, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time." And the first question I have here is this, what supports your talk? What supports your talk of sharing Christ? What supports your mission? It involves me, look at the verse. First of all, always look what the scripture says. It involves me being wise. He says wisdom in how I act and respond to those who don't know Christ as their Savior. I need to be wise in how I treat them. I need to realize, and I'm looking for the opportunity, the door, to answer the most important question in anybody's life. Okay, quiz time. The most important question, whether anybody knows this or not, consciously, the most important question or issue that should be on everybody's mind who is born on this planet is what? Think for a moment. Most important question of everybody born onto this planet, all right? Most important question that they need to answer during their lifetime, above all others, above food, clothing, whatever. You think about it? Think about it. Think you got it? You know what it is? Okay. Question or the comment or the issue or the area is this, where will I spend eternity? That's the biggest question, because you know why? You could say, well, where am I going to make the most money? So I make the most money and I make billions of dollars. But guess what? This life, I only live to age 78 and then I die. Unless you're my age and maybe you'll die before the end of the sermon, okay? So there it is. And you die and then you face what? Another 78 years? No. Another 78 years to the kabillionth times eternity with Christ or without Christ. Got it? I could marry the most spectacular person, and that's the major question in my life, is having that just right person. They do it for me. You know what that's like, don't you, guys and girls? Huh? When the spouse does it for you. We've actually got some people here who are in love with each other. I look at the engaged people, because the married people, they blew through that, and I'm just kidding. But we've got some people in love with each other, right? Deeply in love, right? You're not quick today to say. It's a big yes. Okay, good. I need to hear the rattling, all right? It's an important question. What will I do with my life? Where will I work? What will I buy? Who will my friends be? What kind of kids will I have? What will I turn my kids into when I have them? The big questions in life, right? But when it comes to the end of your life, all those questions would have been answered, but it doesn't make any difference, does it? Because at that time, at the end of your life, what? The biggest question is still looming, and that's where you spend eternity, and the scripture makes it very clear. You spend eternity with Jesus Christ by receiving your Savior during your life, okay? And if you haven't, then there's a Christless eternity, and that's hell. Simple as that. The people out there don't know that question or don't regard that area as that important. They don't even know that they're at the very edge of the cliff. Any given day when something had happened and that bus has your name on it, they're at the very edge of that cliff. Nobody getting on a plane today in Tampa is expecting for it to go down sometime this afternoon. But it happens. Watch the news. Young people, children, people who've got their lives made, looking forward to retirement, and lo and behold, in a couple of minutes, they are gone, part of a fiery wreck, and they're facing the thing that matters the most. Where will they spend their eternity? And if they didn't deal with it during this life, then they're dealing with it then in judgment. You got to feel the seriousness of this thing. Hopefully you do. So, I come into a situation with somebody, and I have got in my mind that the answer to the most important question, whether you've thought about it or not, I've got. Now we're talking. Because if you start to think of yourself that way, then you start looking for the door or the opportunity to have it come out of your mouth. What supports your talk? My actions support my talk. You know what? I read a great little phrase I was going to share with you here. Let me do that. Followers of Christ, what followers of Christ are in their actions gives us the credibility in what we say. True. If you turn that around, many a follower of Christ has removed all credibility from what we say by what they are doing. I am wise in my actions. I know where I'm at. I know who I represent. I know that I've got the most important answer to the most important question, and I need to share it with people before the time runs out for all of us. It's the very thing that's in front of my mind. It is my mission. So I'm very conscious of the fact I've got a message, but I'm also conscious of the fact that my action has to back it up. Catching this? You know what? I'm going to say this. We in the church, we people who are on the inside, have treated the people on the outside like they're stupid. Listen to me. Some of the smartest people I've known on this earth are out there who don't know Christ, want nothing to do with Christ. Listen, man, I'm not even done yet. And you know what? The people out there are not just smart, but they're looking at you and I. They observe us. They know how we act. They know how we live with them. They see those things, and a lot of times those actions are louder than what comes out of my mouth. And so I seek to have my actions be able to back up my message and have some consistency there. In the past 40 or 50 years, at least in my position, Matt, you'll probably get a kick out of this in education, I have watched different iterations take place of how to share Jesus Christ with people. The latest training method that comes down the pike that a certain publisher wants us to have so that we might learn how to share Jesus Christ better with people so that they can have the answer to this question. And we went through several phases about 20, 25 years ago without me mentioning the names, and I'll just say a few buzzwords and you might get it, where they said this, you know what, folks? Your lifestyle needs to back up the message that comes out of your mouth. And they came up with a term, and the term goes like this. You need to be about the business of lifestyle evangelism. Meaning you live your life in front of them very well, and they're going to notice it. They're going to take notice, and maybe, just maybe, one of them out there is going to come to one of us in here and go, hey, how do you live your life so good? Because I see your lifestyle, and it's wonderful. And I said it during that time, and we've gotten off that, by the way, now, to where we are now. It has a missing component to it. And the missing component that the scripture calls me to do is to open my mouth and speak the message of Jesus Christ on top of how I live my life, what's backing up my talk. And here you go. Look in verse 5. I do this so that I can make the best use of the time. See how he says here in verse 5? Making the best use of the time, seeing the time, and not wasting the opportunity. The second thing here, second question is this. What's your type of speech like with those folks outside? Do you take part in harsh conversation with them? Look at verse 6. He says, let your speech always be gracious. That word gracious means filled with kindness, if you're taking notes. It means courtesy. That's what gracious means. Right now, you're probably thinking over the past week or so what your speech was like. Was it gracious speak? And this is only you can evaluate how you're speaking. Look at verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious. And here's a great phrase. Seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. You know, if you think for a moment at least the conversations out there, a lot of them, even when I get my neighbors on a routine basis, the conversation is harsh. People, I don't want to say, they always say, kids are so mean. I got news for you. Their parents are mean. That's where they get it from. Have you ever observed that? People talk harsh. We live in a culture right now where we're just based a lot on cynicism and sarcasm. We're trained to laugh at others' misfortunes. And you go, oh, Mike, I can't imagine ever doing that. Want me to prove it to you? There's a show on tonight that I watch like gospel-ish in my house if I'm home. And it's America's Funniest Videos, all right? Everybody knows the show. It's been out for 100 years, okay? And the fact of the matter is they show some funny stuff. They show people doing some really dumb stuff, too. And that makes me giggle. And when the clip starts, I'll say to my wife, this isn't going to end well. And lo and behold, it doesn't. Off the roof they fall, or the house falls on them, or the car falls on them, or something bad. But they do one thing. Am I the only one that watches this? Okay. Me and the two girls up here, we're the ones that watch this, okay? Watch it sometime. When you want to just do something brain dead material, there it is. They do one thing, they do something like this. And now, we're going to show 30 falls in 30 seconds. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so sure enough, they go through clip after clip after clip. People going down, people going down, people going down. A kid goes down, a dog falls. It just goes that way. And they get about 5 to 8 of them, and I start to giggle. People are falling. They're hitting their heads. They're going through plate glass windows. It's horrible. And I start laughing. And I laugh after about the 5th one or 6th one. When they get to about the 15th or 20th one, I am hysterical watching people fall, breaking limbs, cracking their heads, and doing what else they do. I think it's funny. And when it's over, I go like this, whew, when are they going to do that again? That was funny. Am I the only one? Thank you, Florence. Okay, good. You know, on top of that, we've been trained not to believe what we hear, right? They told us when we were growing up, I always got told this, don't believe everything you hear, Mike. Okay. I'm going to add this to it now. You know what I told my kids now? Of course, they're all adults. Don't believe everything you see. Because there's ways of doctoring that. In fact, this whole thing that's about our culture has affected me dramatically. That's why you hear me kid around every so often and go like this. I got the spiritual gift of sarcasm. We all kind of chuckle. I shouldn't be proud of that. That's sad. But I really do. I could be the first one in any group to make the most snide comment you ever want to hear. And by the way, I've hung out with some of you. You got it too. Especially those with East Coast backgrounds that are here. Yeah, there you go. Y'all know who you are, don't you? Good. The point of the matter is this, is that my speech needs to back up the message that I say that I've got in me. My speech and the patterns of my speech. Don't expect to go sharing Christ with your neighbor when your common conversation with your neighbor has been, boy, you see that girl that moved in across the street? Oh my goodness, she's a looker, isn't she? I'm not done. I got more. Okay. Did you see her out the other day weeding the garden? Oh, my goodness. She's phenomenal. In fact, every time, now you're talking to your neighbor like this, every time she comes out to weed her garden, I make an excuse to go outside and throw out the garbage just so I can see her. And I walk by and I want to say hi to her because she's just absolutely gorgeous. Wow. I'm not done. A further conversation with my neighbor and go, you notice that guy over there? What a jerk. Absolute jerk. Everything he does, he's a jerk. Where he parks his cars is just stupid. You don't do that. Changing the oil on your car and letting it run out into the street like that. Never seen anything like that in my whole life. See the way he painted that house? What an idiot. And oh, by the way, neighbor, I want to tell you about Jesus. You see how the two don't match? They don't even come close, do you? Hey, neighbor. I got a joke for you. Did you hear the one about the priest and the rabbi and the nun in the elevator? Everybody's thinking through their repertoire jokes going, where's he going with this? Did you hear the one about, and you tell an off-color joke, Just a flat out dirty joke, inappropriate. And then when you're done with that joke, ha ha ha, laugh, laugh, laugh. Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus now. Does not exactly match up. The scripture is calling for my talk to be gracious, and it's calling for it to be seasoned with salt, meaning that the message you have of Jesus Christ needs to match up with what you do and how you talk and what you say. You can't have double meanings to everything. You can't tell that kind of joke. You can't pick out the latest good-looking neighbor. You can't cite somebody and say, we're so much better than them because of. You get the idea. My speech is to be seasoned with salt. You taking some notes down? Salt is very simply a flavoring that makes food tasty or palatable or better. It makes the food somewhat different than what it was before. It was also a purifying agent during these times. But basically, this means this, that what comes out of my mouth to others should raise the level of the usual conversations that I have. My speech should make the conversations better because I'm involved. And if my speech is taking the conversation somewhere else, it's going to be nearly impossible for you to then say, now I want to share Jesus with you. And don't forget to go to work and tell that joke I told you, because that was funny. You see, it makes me think that I've got a mission, and that mission is to share Christ, and I will not put anything in the way of doing that. You got to think with me. Think of the week that you have. Have you put up barriers to sharing Christ because of the attitude that you have, because of what comes out of your mouth, the actions that you do or don't do? Are they barriers to people coming to Jesus Christ and barriers to you being about the mission that God's called you to? Listen, I don't have enough time left in my life to play the church game anymore. I am officially resigned and done with that. Years ago, I resigned myself from that. Just not worth it. That's why I'm attracted to a church that might meet in a warehouse and then move to another warehouse while we focus on the things that matter in the church. And it's not the building and the steeple and the graveyard that we got out in the back and all the perks and the bennies that I can get. I quit that before. That's why I'm here. Maybe that's why you're here. I want to be part of a church that does the real thing. And the real thing about a church like ours is we've got a mission like that. We see this mission and this lens in everything we do. We want to represent Christ. We want to talk about Christ. We want to show Christ by our actions. That's all that matters. And we're not going to get caught in the trap of doing anything else. Is that what you want to do? We're going to join 15 members here in a little bit. Let me say this. Most of those people get it. They were happy to come here and visit when we didn't have a church building, per se. They were happy to come here and visit and hear from me and some elders that our long-term goal is not to be a church of 2,000 people sitting on 200 acres over there and being the biggest thing north of Tampa. Not our goal. Our goal is to look at everything through this lens and filter of being Jesus Christ and saying Jesus Christ to the people that he puts in our path. Simple as that. That's why I was attracted here. That's why these new members were attracted here. And let me challenge you this. It's so easy to let that lens get out of the way. Bring that lens back in front of everything that you see and do. And make sure you're looking through the exact same lens Paul did. That your speech life to others and your action life that backs it up match up so that it might give you the door, the opportunity to share Jesus Christ as he leads. You got it? Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we realize in a small way that we're called in Jesus to speak in a real definite way, to represent him with our lifestyle, but also with our pattern of speech. Father, I pray that we would do that just in every situation you've put us in. Father, for the week coming up and the encounters we have, even right now, we give them to you before we get there. Father, I pray that they would go as you see they should go, that your word might go forward and Jesus Christ might be spoken of. And Father, I pray for us also that you give us a heart that is bold and deliberately bold, that seeks to share Jesus Christ with those who do not know him. And then Father, I pray that you give us courage, because it takes courage to live that kind of life in front of those who don't know you. Father, give us an extra measure of your courage to accomplish just that. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.